You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
What's going on, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast with myself, Mark Borscht, and
George Papazov.
Welcome back, guys. We're excited to bring you the final episode of the year 2020. What a ride it's been.
What a 2020. Historic in many senses.
Exactly. It's a historic in many senses, and my OCD is killing me because it'd be nice to be episode 60 on a milestone like this, but 59 will do. And, you know, we've had a great year here at Trade Pro Academy, and we hope you guys have had the same. And we hope that the podcast has given you guys some good value throughout the year. And as we look forward to the new year, you know, we understand that this is generally a time where, you know, New Year's resolutions are forefront in people's minds. You know, as the year begins, people generally tend to look forward to, you know, new goals, new progress, new improvements, and overall, you know, new lifestyle changes. And so that is going to be somewhat of the topic today, not exactly as far as goal setting, but we're going to be talking and having a good discussion around the power of being just 1% better every single day. Now, most people have an idea of what they want to accomplish, but the goals often seem so far out of reach that it's almost intimidating to start. I know personally from some of the goals that I started on, or that I made, you know, some of them were quite big, and until you're able to kind of break them down into actionable steps, you can get paralyzed because there's so much uncertainty. And, you know, if you're trying to figure out everything before you start, you're often going to end up, you know, where you're looking to start, which is nowhere, right? So the goal here is to make actionable steps that you guys can commit to on a daily basis and, you know, really reap the rewards from consistent, small daily actions. And so this is one of the reasons why so many people have a difficult time accomplishing their goals is because they're often too overwhelmed to start on them. But what if you don't have to be the absolute best at what you do, at what you're trying to accomplish? What if you just focused on getting 1% better each day and seeing what those results look like when compounded on a daily basis? You know, it was Einstein that said compound interest is one of the 8 wonders of the world. And, you know, in this case, compounding is, you know, one of the great wonders of the world. And before we kind of dig in here, I wanted to give you guys a quote from Tony Robbins. This is a good one that rings especially true around this topic. And it's this: most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. Now, we assume that if we want to achieve big, big things, we have to take massive action. And really the problem is that the bigger the action is, the more drastic the difference is from your current way of doing things to what you have to do in order to accomplish those goals, which makes it less sustainable and more likely that you're going to throw those habits out of the table, right? Now, if you break those big goals down, like we said, into tiny sustainable actions that you can practice consistently, then you just might be surprised with the results that you create yourself. In the beginning, these decisions, they might seem super insignificant, all right? But over time, small improvements, or, you know, if you're on the wrong side of this coin, small declines on a daily basis, those begin to compound. And the difference between, you know, the difference between somebody that is getting 1% better every day versus 1% worse every day might not seem that big on a day-over-day basis. But when you look at it over a longer term, there is a noticeable difference. And there's been some math done, interestingly enough. And if you get only 1% better each day for just 1 year, then compounded, your results are going to end up being 37 times better. Can you imagine that, guys? Imagine a 3,700% return on investment. And in this case, you're the investment. So you've increased your value, your worth by 37,000%. So rather 3,700%. Now, this is the exciting part, but understand that the same holds true on the opposite flip of the coin. If instead of getting 1% better a day, you are getting 1% worse a day, you know, you're letting bad habits slide, you are doing the things that you know you shouldn't be, but because it's such a small, insignificant daily habit, you just let it slide, you can actually end up almost 97% worse a year over the course of a year if you're doing the bad habits, if you're feeding those bad habits 1% a day each day for the full year, you're 97% worse off. But here's the fun part. If you're listening to this podcast, you are not part of that 1% that is losing or doing worse each day. You are on the path to personal growth and development. So you're going to be the 1% that's getting better on a daily basis. Now, our goal here is to help you guys make 2021 your best year to date. And before we do that, let's jump into the show.
Awesome, Marky. Solid intro. You know, a lot of things stand out about what you said there, you know, and I think the listener and all of us need to realize that by just being 1%, a small amount better every single day, most of us will achieve bigger goals than we could even think of, right? It's like 3,700, being 37 times better, you know, most people wouldn't have that as a reasonable goal. And it doesn't seem reasonable until you break it down 1% better a day. Now, 3,700% return in your investment account, you know, could be a stretch if you believe it to, but 37 times better in your personal self, completely possible. And that will be what's the driver for the return. So I want to talk to you about that a little bit more before we get back to the show. You know, it's that time of the year. You know, when you make resolutions for how next year will be different, but sadly, by the time February rolls around, the majority of people have abandoned those plans. The gym is empty. The vegetables are rotting in the fridge. The trading account keeps bleeding out. In today's episode, we'll teach you how to make actionable habits that stick by making small micro commitments. But that's not enough. You need to have a circle of friends that help you stay accountable. Imagine you could join a group with hundreds of professional traders that collaborate and trade together live daily. What would be the likelihood you finally succeed at achieving your trading goals? What would your 2021 look like as a result? This year, let's make those resolutions stick for good. Become a trader you've always wanted to be. Join us and become a member at TradeProAcademy.com. And now, back to the show.
Back to the show. Thanks for that great message. So let's discuss, you know, how can you go about getting 1% better each day? Well, you know, before we really give you guys the steps, as you guys know, we have a list prepared because that's what we do. But before we get in that, it's always a good idea to get a general understanding of, you know, of the underlying context, right? I think context is super important, and understanding how we kind of go about building or starting habits and, you know, being consistent with those habits is super important. And the real concept here is something introduced by James Clear. He's the author of The Atomic Habits. And, you know, we did a recent episode, which was episode 55, on how to break bad trading habits, which basically used a lot of the concepts that James introduced in this book, The Atomic Habits. So I'd highly recommend you check that episode out, because a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is a building block to the concepts introduced there. So what James kind of describes as a requirement in order to create or to start a new habit is this thing called the activation energy. Right. And so similar to how a chemical reaction has an activation energy, we can think of a habit or a behavior as also having an activation energy. And this is just a metaphor, guys, but no matter what the habit you're trying to build is, there is going to be a certain amount of effort required for you in order to really start that habit. When you look at chemistry, it's more difficult for a chemical reaction to occur, the bigger the activation energy required to initiate that, right? Same kind of holds true for habits. The more difficult or complex a behavior that you're trying to initiate, the higher the activation energy is going to be required to actually go about starting it. So we'll use the example of getting fit, right? So oftentimes people will want to get fit. You can say, you know, what are some of the main exercises people do? Pull-ups, for example. They want to start, I want to be able to do 50 pull-ups this year, right? If you consider doing 50 pull-ups a day, the activation energy required to do that is going to be quite significant, especially if you are at the place where, you know, you struggle to get one single pull-up done. Whereas if you break this goal down, you know, if at the end of the year, you want to be able to do 50 pull-ups, for example, if you start by doing just one pull-up a day, you know, do you think that the energy required to get that habit started is going to be more or less than the energy required to do, say, 50 pull-ups throughout the day, right? And so it's going to take more motivation. It's going to take more energy and grit to start these complex habits day after day.
I love that, Marky. You know, like that's, I think fitness is one of the areas almost everyone has for New Year's resolutions, right? Because we know that being more fit, it gives you more energy, you're in better shape, you feel better, you experience life more wholly. If you're not wholly, but W-H-O-L-E, like more whole. And so this concept is interesting because here's an example with the fitness realm. You know, what do most people need to do to get fit? They need to go to the gym. And so if you wake up in the morning, you now have to get dressed. You have to put your gym gear on. You got to pack your gym bag. You got to get in the car, fire it up. If it's cold, you're not going to want to do that. Drive to the gym, unpack, get ready in your fitness clothes before you even touch a single weight or get on the treadmill. All that is activation energy. So this concept is about minimizing your activation energy. How could you do that? And we're going to talk about this in trading, but with the fitness example, one way to do it is to sleep in your gym clothes, right? You now remove the necessity for you to wake up in the morning and put them on. Another way to do it is work out at home. Find, you know, just a skipping rope. Like the most effective equipment has been around for thousands of years. It's not a treadmill. It's not a Peloton. Skipping rope, basic body plyometric exercises are enough. Start there. Before you go and start putting plates onto the bench press bar, you know, you got to build yourself up, your core, your confidence. So minimizing the steps required to you to go from wanting something to the point where you're actually starting to do the work. That period is super important for the likelihood that your goal is to stick and be sustainable in the long term.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny that you brought that up because that was basically my experience with training. I remember back in university, you know, I had a pretty, I like to add on the pressure. And so what I did to get my weekends off, to get a couple extra days of a weekend, was overload myself on Mondays and Tuesdays, right? So Mondays and Tuesdays, I'd be in class from 7:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. And that meant I had Wednesday through Friday off. Now, the interesting thing about that is if I had to be downtown, I went to University in Ryerson downtown and lived in Mississauga at the time. You know, if I had to be downtown in class by 7:30, I'd need to be, you know, on the road to school around 6:30, 6:45, which means if I wanted to get a workout in before that time, I'd need to be in the gym by 5 a.m. And I remember initially making that change from working out in the afternoons. My normal time was around 7 to 8 p.m. and making the shift to, you know, to 5 a.m. to being at the gym, which means I had to wake up probably half an hour before that, 4:30 a.m. or so. And so that was a big shift for me. And the thing that helped was basically what you said, is to minimize, or, you know, minimize as best you can. If you can, eliminate as many as the obstacles to getting yourself started, right? And so for me, what was that? Well, every single night before I went to bed, I would basically have all my workout gear already in my bag. I'd have my shoes right next to the bed. I'd have basically all my clothes right next there. I wasn't waking up deciding, what am I going to wear to the gym today? All of those decisions were already made the night before. Same thing goes with like the protein shakes, all the pre-workouts and everything. Everything was already in the appropriate cups where everything had to be. So all I had to do was literally wake up and obviously brush my teeth, do that stuff. And then you're good to go, head out to the gym. And so it wasn't an easy thing to do, obviously, waking up at 4:30 a.m. and to get to the gym, but not having to think about what I have to wear, not having to think about, oh, I gotta put my proteins and stuff. I got to get my water bottle filled out. Even the meals, right? I had like prepackaged meals that I made. I was doing meal prep at the time. You know, all of that stuff was ready to go, so that all the only thing I had to do was get up, and the rest was basically, as they say, history.
So I love it. So you've already you've applied this, right? And Marky, how good did your day feel after you get an early morning workout, show up at class, present, full of energy? Like, you know, how your day starts is how it ends. If you tell me how you start your day, I'm willing to make a 95% assumption on how it's going to end as well. And that's the sad part, is that we don't start it the right way. And so I love that story, Mark, because I think this relates. I know it's a trading podcast, trading psychology, but this relates to your way of thinking, because there's a saying, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And knowing Mark personally, you know, I kind of smiled throughout that story because I could picture it. You know, I bet you all the protein cups, liquid levels were near around the same. Like, good old OCD Mark. He doesn't actually have OCD. He's just very diligent.
Self-diagnosed. I love that. Self-diagnosed. Well, the question you asked was how did I feel for the rest of the day? And I don't know, to be honest. It was either a mix of the pre-workout still kicking around and keeping me active, but it definitely feel accomplished, right? Because by the time I was leaving the gym, it was the time most people were arriving to the gym, right? So it's kind of like that little sense of accomplishment on a daily basis, whereas like, you know, you have the upper edge, because as you're finishing something, you know, somebody else is just getting started on it. Kind of like likening it to, you know, any professional athletes, with the idea that, you know, professional athletes will find themselves in the gym at, you know, 1 or 2 a.m. And you ask them why, and they say, because there's somebody else, you know, in the world that's working while I'm asleep. Right.
Yeah.
So it's just having that little sense of accomplishment definitely goes far in establishing your day. And similarly, you know, with this topic that we're discussing today, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And considering that we're transitioning into a new year here in the next couple of weeks, of course, by the time you guys will hear this, it's going to be the day before the new year. But how you begin your year sets up the foundation for how the rest of the year goes. So similarly to how your daily habits, you know, affect how your day begins, those habits also translate into how your year progresses. And having those little wins on a daily basis really goes far in keeping you, you know, focused on the right path.
It's like markets are fractal. Well, so is your life, right? Everything's fractal at the end of the day. And you know how many successful people actually have physical activity at the beginning of their morning? Like it's like mind-blowing. I'd say 90, you know, this is a stat off the top, but I'd say the majority of highly successful, ultra-productive individuals start with physical exercise. I don't know what it is, but I just feel it's counterintuitive. The more energy I put out in the morning, like physical kind of energy, the more I receive. It's like you just feel this kind of surge of just preparation for the day. And I trade better on the days where I do any kind of exercise, like more mentally sharp. I see the opportunities better and I jump on them with less hesitation.
Yeah, 100% agree. And, you know, something I've recently started to implement as part of like my daily habits is cold showers. All right. And, you know,
love a cold shower.
Love a cold shower. There's nothing like a cold shower in the morning. And, you know, to be honest, the purpose that it serves is very similar to that of exercise in the morning, right? You get that sense of like a mental edge, mental strength, and, you know, carrying that into your trading days, especially because we are a trading related podcast. It really goes a long way.
I had a friend, Marky, one time I told him my most effective routine would be to wake up and somebody punch me in the face. But it was hard to hire somebody for that. So actually, it's not hard. There were too many applicants.
I moved close by. You could just give me a call.
Thanks, man. I'll keep that in mind. It's not that there weren't people. It's just not enough time to screen them all to pick the perfect person for the role. I love a cold shower. So why do small habits make a big difference? Let's read off these. You know, we convince ourselves that massive success requires massive action. And, you know, this is a lot of the philosophy in the books, personal development, etc. And when you study other people's success stories, that's what you take away. Like, wow, they achieved so much. I could do it as well. But it's less of a glorious topic when you look at the daily boring actions that they took to get there. And so, you know, success requires massive action when you look at it from the point when you've achieved it. But really, it's smaller, tangible, repeatable, sustainable, more boring daily activities that lead to that massive action. You know, The truth is, along the road to success, it's often not as exciting as you would think every single day, right? And that's what you got to break it down to. So I think that's one of the biggest things. It's important to do small habits.
Exactly. And, you know, you can, I think one of the best examples we can kind of give in the sense that, you know, massive success requires massive action is just looking at the example of Amazon, right? Like if you look at Amazon, I doubt that, you know, 20 years ago, Jeff Bezos was thinking he's going to be in the pharmacy industry.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he wanted to sell books. It was just a bookstore. That's all. Textbooks for students.
He wanted to sell books, and then he was focused on the daily habits to get there. When he achieved, you know, the success he wanted in that gave him the opportunity to kind of expand the service offering of Amazon. And it's kind of relatable back to what we're talking about, right? If at the time Jeff was thinking, I want to be in the book space, I want to be in the pharmacy space, I want to be in the, I mean, clouding wasn't cloud, what's it called? Web cloud services weren't around back then, but you can just imagine if he sat there thinking about how he can take action on all of these things, more likely than not, he would have just been paralyzed and there wouldn't be an Amazon these days. But by, you know, having the vision of where he wanted to go, taking the daily actions, you see what Amazon is now. You know, it's like a global conglomerate.
That's a beautiful point. And that goes right into the next thing we're going to mention is that results in a lot of pressure that you put on yourself to produce results when you have these massive, you know, when you're thinking on the bigger picture, it's great, but you have to remember as well that if you want to create a 20-year plan, almost always the plan you create today would be worse than the one that if you just responded in the real time, took it as you come, and then got more feedback. The problem with a concrete plan is it isn't really open to feedback to change, right? It's and what you want to do is you want to have goals, but the plan works itself out in real time. You don't want to plan too far out because what you come up with will never be as genius as what the, you know, real-time awareness will help you to create. Like if Bezos 20 years ago came up with like the genius operational plan that Amazon has now, no chance. A lot of the technology didn't exist. A lot of the market wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So you got to respond to the market, and your plan has to be created by the market, by the customers in trading, by the stock market. The way it changes is going to affect your plan. So forget these massive goals. Look inward and think smaller, more granular.
Yeah. Well, I would just say one thing with what you said there. You know, I'd argue not to forget the massive goals. You know, you still keep those are the goals that those are your stretch goals, right? But when you're taking the action, you know, the action doesn't have to be that one action that you think is going to get you to your goal tomorrow, right? It's having that bigger goal in play and taking those daily actions. And I can kind of liken this to, you know, like trading strategies, for example, that quote that I gave you guys earlier from Tony Robbins, you know, most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. You know, we can give people the trade pro, you know, some of the trade pro strategies, which can, if you apply them correctly, make you a millionaire in say 5 to 10 years. But is that person going to be patient enough to actually do the daily habits and processes to accomplish that, right? Probably not. They're not going to be gratified with the results or what they consider to be lack of results because they're focusing on, you know, on the shorter term perspective. And that kind of goes into what we're going to mention next here is that the real, like the societal norm these days is that of instant gratification, right? You've got social media, you know, showing people making millions of dollars overnight or seeming, you know, overnight successes is basically the common theme that you'll see posted across social media. And what that results in is, you know, people not sticking to what works because the results aren't necessarily there as quickly as they expect them to be, right? The small changes that are required, you know, the small changes in the habits that are required to, you know, to get these results over the long term, really coupled with the slow pace of seeing the results, naturally leads people to, you know, not to get rid of, but to kind of throw away the good habits and really start coupling the bad habits, which is where, you know, you start to lose momentum on a daily basis and you actually achieve the opposite of what you set out to, which is you're not using the compound effect in your benefit. You're using it to your detriment. There you go.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, that's a very good point. I think part of the problem with that, Marky, is the industry is so heavily focused on marketing these materialistic goods. But here's what you got to understand. You're telling me that if you worked hard to trade and you made it to $300,000, you're going to buy a Lamborghini? Guess what? Now you're broke. Wait till you find out how much it costs to get an oil change when you bring that bad boy in. And the gas, the service, the maintenance. You pop a tire, everything's is a four fun coupon expense on that car. So what you have to understand is, yeah, you're going to work so hard to get that kind of money, but are you going to spend it on a depreciating asset? You want to think bigger so you can become the person that buying a Ferrari feels like you're buying another pair of shoes. You don't want that to kill your whole expense. So like you said, Mark, I was being dramatic when I say forget the big vision. I'm saying we focus too much on it, yeah. Right? It's like we focus too much on the destination and we never really research the route on the GPS of how we're going to get there. And we sit in traffic backlogs when we could have avoided it with the back road. So I really like this. And remember the math, 1% a day is all you freaking need. 37 times better in 1 year. And, you know, I think a lot of the frustration in trading happens when you start out and you're putting an effort but not making returns. And you're saying, I'm doing bad. But you're doing bad based on an unrealistic standard you set for yourself, right? Nobody said you're going to, from day one, you're going to be profitable. The reality is most people take a little bit of a hit to their account and they say, I'm behind the curve. No, you're exactly on pace with the development the most professional traders are on. You're just not recognizing yourself for it. Now you're creating dissonance and dissatisfaction in what you're doing, putting more pressure on yourself. It's a downward spiral. So at the beginning, celebrate the win. Just be a little bit better every single day. And what you're going to accomplish in 10 years is going to blow out of the water what you think you can today. And I think that's what the whole premise of this podcast is, really exciting.
Exactly. And so like when you really break it down to its most basic nature, right? Small habits make a big difference. Habits are basically like the compound interest of self-improvement.
Right? I love that. So it's a quotable.
It's a quotable. So what you've got to do with these habits, you know, if you're looking to improve yourself, right, and improve the world that you live in, is you've got to focus on these small actionable habits. So like take, for example, you know, somebody trying to lose weight. This is a common one, right? So somebody trying to lose weight, they might say, all right, I need to lose, or I need to restrict my diet by say 500 calories a day, something like that. You know, that's pretty much on average, on pace, maybe 250 calories, right? Now, if you think about all the stuff that you have to take out of your diet to, you know, remove those 250 calories a day, that could be a little bit intimidating, you know, for somebody that doesn't really know or doesn't count calories. Think about it this way. What if you eat cookies on a daily basis? All right. What if you eat cookies on a daily basis and you're trying to lose weight? Guess what? You can start with removing one cookie a day. All right. And removing that one cookie a day is eventually going to lead to you not eating any cookies in a single day. And then you're going to be on pace to achieve those goals that you're looking to achieve. Right. Now, the issue rather is when you repeat bad habits on a day to day basis with poor decision making and you're rationalizing your excuses. All right. This is where the 1% declines happen. And, you know, the unfortunate reality is that, you know, letting one bad habit slide today might not make a big difference. You know, if you eat that one cookie today, you're not going to see it on the scales necessarily. But if you keep eating that cookie every single day, guess what? After a long enough time, you're going to start to see that reflect on the scale. All right. And so regardless of whether you're successful or not at this exact moment, regardless of what you define success to be, what truly, truly matters here, guys, is whether the habits that you are currently engaged with, the habits that you currently do on a daily basis, are those habits putting you on the right road to success? Are they putting you in the correct trajectory over the long run? Or are they veering you off the path to what you're trying to do? All right. Think about this. Even if you're in a position right now where, you know, you feel like you're not successful, or you feel like you're not achieving what you're, you know, what you set out to do, that's your current results. All right. That can change. And what's more important is your current trajectory. So if you can identify that based on your existing habits, you're not on the right trajectory to where you want to be in, that's a big step in and of itself, right? The next step is to, you know, reframe or not reframe, but to change those habits to ones that serve you and put you right back onto that correct trajectory. Because really at the end of the day, everything that you see in your life is kind of like a lagging indicator, you know, and it's kind of similar to, you know, your RSIs, your MACDs, and price action, right? Anything that you see on the charts from price action, from the rawest form of price action, you know, that is going to precede anything you see on the indicators, because those indicators are lagging indicators. Similarly, you know, as it relates to habits or your own outcomes in your life, those are also lagging, right? So if you feel broke, you know, as you're listening to this, if you feel broke, what are your spending habits like? You know, your current situation is a reflection of your habits. So if you feel broke right now, take a look at your spending habits. Maybe you're spending money a little bit, you know, too freely, and you've got to kind of clamp down on that.
Right? Too many cookies. Maybe you're buying too many cookies.
Same thing. You know, if you feel like your weight's an issue, you feel like you have to lose weight. What's your diet look like? What are your eating patterns look like? What does your exercise routine look like? Right. These are all things to consider when it comes to making a big difference, is these little small steps, right? And if you really want to predict where you're going to be in the future, all you have to do is look at how your current daily choices will compound over the next 5, you know, 10, 20 years. And at the end of the day, guys, time can either be an ally or an enemy. And the real difference between it being an ally and an enemy really depends on the daily habits that you guys are doing. And the small habits are the ones that make the biggest difference over the long run.
Yeah, man, that's a fantastic, it's a fantastic stream of consciousness that you hit, Marky, because it's almost like the concept of future value, right? Like we have present value, and your actions you could almost calculate your future value. But I think one point I wanted to bring up is like the culprit of this type of culture. I think the culprit is like the societal norm of that instant gratification, right? I think I harp on this a lot, but on social media, to be able to see somebody else's Ferrari on social media and then say, hey, you know, that's a cool lifestyle. You're experiencing their lifestyle, because your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between seeing something that you visualize and experiencing it. So you have this opportunity to experience success at a high level with very little work, which unfortunately, yes, it gives you a dopamine rush as if though you had it, but then also leads to frustration, because then immediately after you don't have it, and your subconscious mind, you've given something, you've taken it away, which then puts you in dissatisfaction. But there was a time where all these things weren't shared and you would work hard to get these things. And guess what? At the end of the day, when you have the car you want, the house you want, or something the materialistic, even if it's not an experience that you want, what you remember about that experience isn't how the experience felt, but what you remember is what you did to get there. That experience makes the journey that you've been through worthwhile. It vindicates it. It gives you, you know, a happy feeling, hope, accomplishment. You don't have that when you're looking at other people's things. That's the problem in today's situation, is that we have access to too many things we don't deserve to. No disrespect. You know, that's just the problem. And so I think one of the biggest things you could do is stop looking at other people's success, you know, use it as an inspiration, but stop trying to experience it now. You know, like you're going to get it. It's going to take time. Just let social media do less negativity to your subconscious. It's really, you know, it's a problem with kids these days, man. You know, you want all these things. You want a Ferrari, you want this. One day you want to be a Bitcoin trader. The next day you want to run like a online affiliate business, and then you're 35 living in the basement with your parents. It just, time flies when you spend so much time wanting things and no time doing these small habits that lead to them. So I just wanted to share that message. I think it was important.
Yeah, I completely agree with that message. And you know, just to kind of add to that, you know, from my own personal experience, I was never really the type of person that was spending a lot of time on social media, or at least like posting and hoping to see likes and comments, etc. But what I will say is this, when I did remove social media, and you know, I still have it just for business purposes, but On a personal side, I don't have any. I still have the accounts, but I don't have any of the apps on my phone. And I can tell you that, like, the mental clarity that you get from not dealing with all the, excuse my friend, shit that you see on social media really allows you to kind of, it clears up the fog in your mind and allows you to focus on what you want to do. Because like Georgie said, you know, it's very easy to see something and one day you want to be a trader. The next day, you know, you see somebody who's got a nice Lamborghini, they're in real estate. Next day, you want to be a real estate investor. And, you know, you just, it's like the shiny ball syndrome, right? You hop from one shiny ball onto the next one. And at the end of the day, you know, you never really become a master of a single trade. You're just jumping from one thing to another. And that ultimately, you know, from our experience, just leaves you frustrated and basically at the same place where you started at, you know?
I was going to mention. You go, Mark.
Timing issues today.
I'm sorry, you go.
So it's like you're left basically where you started at, right? You wanted to make money as a trader. Great, didn't work out. You jumped into real estate. You wanted to make money in real estate. Great, didn't work out. You're still sat there. You still want to make money. You've done all these things. And, you know, you're just basically like the hamster wheel, just doing a whole bunch of work and getting absolutely nowhere. So I think that was a great point that you brought up. And another thing, I'll let you go on before we handle the next topic here on the notes.
Make social media great again. I think people who post these things, you also have to understand that they're not posting the challenges they got through. And so I liken this analogy of flying down the highway at 150 miles and there's a turn coming up. And on the side of the road, there's a whole bunch of people doing goofy stuff, you know, smiling or doing this, showing cat pictures. One person's holding a picture of their cat on the side of the road, and you have to make this turn. What are you looking at? Are you looking at the people on the road or the turn? You're looking at the road. And that's what I think social media is doing, is when we're approaching the point where we need the most amount of concentration or focus in life, it's so easy to turn around and look at other people and say, oh, look, well, they're doing this. How the hell are you going to get to where you want to be if you keep looking at other people's, you know, paths? And that's the important part. And, you know, social media is a tool. It's kind of like a gun. A rifle could put food on your table or could put you in jail. It's how you use it. And so it's not necessarily, you know, stop using social media, but use it for a positive. And I know we've taken a massive detour, so I'm going to send it back on course here. Marky, let's jump into the next section.
Let me keep it off course with just one more comment.
All right, perfect. Let's keep going.
Because I think it relates really well to, you know, to the industry that we're in as we are performance athletes, right? So if you consider the fact that, look at professional athletes, for example. Are they generally super active on social media? No, not really. In fact, I remember, you know, we're based out of Toronto here, so we're big fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we just so happen to have a player on our team by the name of Austin Matthews, who's, you know, somewhat of a superstar. And so he was going over some, he was going through a rough patch in his not really career, because he's had a pretty decent career so far, but he had a rough patch throughout the season where he was just kind of going through injury after injury. And then when he came back, you know, he didn't come back as strong as, you know, he would have hoped coming out of rehab, or not rehab, but coming out of physio and stuff like that. And so I remember an interview, he was giving an interview at one point, and the reporter asked him, you know, social media has just been going off about your performance recently. And he's just like, oh, I didn't know. I'm not like, I don't even look at that kind of stuff. We're not even allowed to look at that kind of stuff. And so if you consider yourself as a performance athlete, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, there's a very high probability that you're also a trader, right? And the field that we're in is no different than a performance athlete. Sure, it might not be as physically demanding of a job, but at the end of the day, performance is performance. You eat what you kill, right? And so if you're looking at these superstar athletes and how they're staying away from social media in order to keep their, you know, their game faces on, in order to keep that game set mentality, what do you think would happen to you, you know, if you stopped focusing on all that noise, all that clutter that you see on social media, and really focus on, you know, your own goals and working towards what you need to in order to accomplish, you know, those stretch goals that we've been discussing?
Yeah, like, you know, watch the movie Social Dilemma. If these guys, the biggest executives, these massive social media firms, won't let their family on social media, You know, you got to kind of take that and think about it. And there, along the way to success, there's great sacrifice. We didn't just keep going off track, but I have to mention this, Marky, because you're gonna like it too. You know, I had blood clots this year. That was kind of a scary situation for me. It was a DVT. It never turned into pulmonary embolism. Knock on wood. But did you know that? Yeah, thank you. That was, he knocked on his head. I saw him on the camera. That's the sound it makes. Did you know that 11 NHL players since 2009 have had blood clots? And here's this, an interesting thing. It happens in their shoulder, in their arm vein, because when they take a shot, the collarbone compresses the vein, creates kind of like a nutcracker effect. And so you look at this, you say, you know, these athletes make a lot of money. They're so successful. They're so lucky. Steve Stamkos had a part of his rib removed, so it wouldn't put pressure on him to prevent blood clots so he could play. Like, think about that. That's mind-boggling. Like, going, yeah, just remove part of this rib so I could take a shot. That's the part you don't see on social media that's missing, and that's the commitment that's required. Now, let's jump ahead, and let's talk about some of these habits, but I think that was a fascinating aside. You know, this could have been – we might just have to rename the title of this episode and keep going, Marky.
That was great. So now let's get back on track here. And let's discuss quickly here, you know, some of the ways that habits can compound either for you or for against you, right? I kind of mentioned this earlier on in the episode in that, you know, time can really become an ally or an enemy based on, you know, your current habits. And so the habits, we can bucket them into two categories. You can have either positive compounding habits or negatively compounding habits, right? So as it relates to the positive side, the positive habits are, you know, productivity, things like productivity, you know, accomplishing just one extra task throughout the day. It might not seem that big in, you know, the grandiose scale of things, but over the course of a career, you know, that one extra task a day can come out to a lot, right? And the effect of automating old tasks and mastering new skills can be even greater. And really, the more tasks that you can handle without your brain having to think about it gives you more time to focus on other areas. So again, kind of relating back to that whole going to the gym in the morning, right? By getting in the habit of making those decisions of what you're going to wear, you know, putting together all your stuff the night before, when you wake up, your brain's not thinking about that. It's already automated. So you can feel free to think about other things. Another habit that also compounds positively is knowledge, right? Who would have thought? Knowledge, right?
Who would have thunk it?
Exactly, exactly. So learning something new today, you know, is not going to make you a genius unless you learn something super crazy. If you learn, I don't know, how to compute quantum mechanics, I would consider that being a genius. But yeah, for the rest of society, you know, learning something new in any given day is not going to amount to much. But if you learn something new every single day, can you see how that can compound to something great? And again, we kind of relate this back to reading. You know, some people don't really read at all. Some people have a goal to read, I don't know, like 50 books a year. How can you start to read that, to get that goal of 50 books a year? Start with maybe 5 pages of a book a day. You know, little things like that. So each book that you read is not only going to teach you something new, but it's going to open up new ways of thinking. And, you know, Warren Buffett, one of the classical investors, he's got a great quote, and he says, "That's how knowledge works. It builds up like compound interest." It's crazy.
Love it.
It's crazy how compounding is finding its way so much in this episode, right? Another thing that generally compounds positively is relationships. All right. And people are basically like mirrors in the sense that they reflect your behavior back to you. And, you know, it's been, there was a funny quote, and it's something that I kind of live by as well. And it's like, people's opinion of me, each person's opinion of me is different, right? Because I treat people like a mirror, right? If they're giving me that bad energy, that's just going to be reflected, and vice versa. Right. So, on one side, it's the more that you help others, the more value that you provide to others, the more people are going to want to help you up, right? And it kind of goes back down to the notion of, you know, the more people that you serve, or the greater value that you put out there, you're going to receive the same. And just focus on those three kinds of things, you know, the relationship side of it, knowledge side of it, and productivity side of it. Those are generally the habits that tend to compound positively for you. And Georgie is going to cover the ones that are negatively compounding.
Well, Marky, I'm really happy you jumped at the positive column. Because, you know, it's a lot of, you know, personal development you've been doing. And I love that you chose that one. That's very indicative.
Early bird gets the worm.
Yeah, exactly. Which means, hey, these are the things you're experiencing more. You gravitated towards what you're experiencing. I unfortunately now have the benefit of talking about negative compounding. But you know what? It's good that because if you're feeling this, you know how to shift. So the first one that compounds negatively is stress. Stress is a silent killer. You know, the physiological damage that you're doing to yourself by putting your system in stress mind state, it's equivalent to a rev limiter. If you're revving your car at 9,000 RPM, it's not going to last as long as if you're shifting at 2,000. And so the more you're triggering your flight or fight response, the more stress you're building on your system, the more taxing it is, the more you're going to have to pay for it. All right. And, you know, high blood pressure, you know, there's things that are manageable, but when they persist for years and for a stretch of time, they end up causing damage. Things break down. You can't take your body in to get a new set of brake pads. You know, you have one body, and the rate at which you deteriorate it is your choice. And that's directly proportional to stress. I think it's one of the big problems is that we stress about too many things. If you told your ancestors that this is what you're going to have, you know, for every 1,000 ancestors, 999 would sacrifice their life for just the one to have that opportunity. That's how great of an advantage you're in this day and age. There's nothing to be stressed about. All right, you're better off to being productive. Compound the other side of that scale. Other thing that compounds is negativity. This compounds really quickly. If you think I'm not even going to say that. But if you think that you are, you know, at a disadvantage, if you see yourself as, you know, I didn't get the same amount of benefits as a kid across the street who grew up wealthy. If I didn't get this, I didn't get that. These negative thoughts will create your reality. That new negative reality is going to cause you more negative thoughts and more stress. And eventually what's going to happen is you're just going to spiral lower and these things build on each other. Like Mark said, 1%, you know, the every negative 1% in a day, if you decrease by 1%, you're 97% weaker by the end of the year. Think about this. Even if you get 100% better at the end of the year, that's still only 6%, right? Because if you go 97 to 3 next year, you're only compounding the 3%. So I think it's more important to cut out the negativity and negative compounding behaviors than to jump and start working on, I'm going to compound my knowledge. Great, but start out by getting yourself to a more neutral template because, you know, unfortunately, negativity burns through more of your energy than positivity. That's why, you know, negative people love negative people. And I think one of the most important things you could do is be very protective of the energy and the circles you associate with. You know, the thoughts, people's negative thoughts impact you as if though you're having the negative thought. That's why sometimes I'm a rough friend, you know, it's like, people will call me in times of need, and rather than me giving them a pity party, I'd say, well, how did you cause this? They don't like to hear that, but they need to hear it. Outrage is another one that compounds pretty negatively. Riots, protests, mass movements, you know, are rarely the result of a single event. Instead, a long series of microaggressions and daily aggressions slowly building up, you know, like all these outrageous incidents that are happening in schools. I don't want to talk about this too much, but like this negativity that we're experiencing in society today, this division, lately it was experienced in politics with the election. You know, it didn't happen in one day. It happened because the sources we listen to are making us believe that we're different from one another. That, hey, you support somebody else, you're not the same of me. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all one. You know, if you could see an analogy, it's like a cloth and we're just different pieces that are cut from it, but we still belong to the same, the whole. So all these things will compound. The good news is you get to choose what you compound. I think that's the takeaway. It's like you could compound positivity, you can compound negativity. The greatest gift in this life is that you get to choose what you're going to compound. You know, I think there was a story in this with the wolf, right, Marky? What was it where the grandfather said, or the son asked the grandfather, you know, I have one wolf on my shoulder saying to do good things, another wolf on my shoulder saying to do bad things. You know, which one's going to win? And the grandfather wisely said, the one that you feed, that's the one that's going to win. And that's what life is all about. You choose what you're going to feed. And from that is what grows.
Exactly. And isn't that the perfect moment to segue into the next bit here of how small incremental change, some examples of small incremental changes and how they can lead to, you know, big results in the long run. All right. And so I'm going to take the first one here.
Ah, damn you. That's a fun one. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm going to let you take that one because I know you're excited about that one. I'm going to take the other one. So one example of small incremental change and how it can affect the course of the long run is considering an airplane. All right. Consider an airplane and taking off, an airplane taking off. All right. So the impact that you create by a change in your habits is very, very similar to the effect of shifting the route of an airplane by just a few degrees. All right. So imagine you're flying, let's say from Toronto to LA. All right. If you're a pilot leaving from Toronto and, you know, you adjust the head of the airplane by a couple of degrees, I guess that would be from Toronto to Calif to LAX, you would be going southwest.
Yeah, exactly.
Southwest, right? So you adjust it for that flight path, right? But if you're going to land in LAX, you're going to be on that flight path, right? If the pilot changes the degree of the landing, or rather it changes the degree of the flight route by a couple of degrees, you'll no longer end up in LAX. You'll probably end up in like Oregon or something like that.
Washington, right? D.C., it says in your example. You don't want to be there. That's a political nightmare.
Yeah. Right. So you're going to end up in a completely different place. And all it took was just a slight, you know, a slight change in that flight path. Right. Just a small thing as a couple of degrees changes the course of where the plane goes. So that's kind of one of the examples that we found as, you know, quite relatable to people. And really what we want to get across with this is that you don't have to make huge changes, right? It's just a simple, small changes that can done consistently, you know, change the outcome of your life.
That's fantastic. I love that analogy. Another one's with bamboo. Look, I'm not a bamboo farmer, so I'm not going to pretend to know more than if you're listening and you're a bamboo farmer. But what you do need to know is it takes a long time, up to 3 years to really grow the root of the bamboo. And then once it sprouts, it could go 36 inches in a 24-hour period. Some bamboo, you could measure 1.5 inch growth every hour after 3 years of cultivating and work. Think about that. It's fantastic. And the cool thing about the bamboo plant is it's one of the hardest plants to remove once the roots are set in. Like it's very persistent. It's because it took 3 years, it's going to be a damn good bamboo plantation, right? So removing it takes more effort. And so what the story you could learn there is over the 3 year course of time, you might not be seeing the result, but once it sprouts, success comes quick. And that's exactly how trading is. If people say, I just want to make $100 a day, understand that by the time you can just make $100 a day consistent, there's nothing stopping you by doing 500,000 a day. So we have to work longer without seeing result. But once you see the result, the scalability is on the verge of insanity. You know, it's so crazy that the one thing that stops you from scaling, guess what it is yourself. Now the problem is, what's your money mindset? And that's a tougher challenge. And I hope you all get to discover that. So, you know, your career as a trader is like a bamboo plant. Nurture it. Understand you're not going to see phenomenal results at the moment, but you shouldn't care about the results. It's about nurturing, improving. And once it goes, my God, it goes. You can't stop it. You're planting for forever.
Exactly. And, you know, again, it's a beautiful segue here because, you know, James Clear coined the term of the kind of the, it's the period between taking the small consistent actions and actually seeing those results. All right. And that term is called the plateau of latent potential.
Right? This James Clear guy must be smart. I wonder what his 1% a day looks like.
Must be a smart guy, right? But, you know, to George's point here, really that period between where you're taking those small actions and not necessarily seeing those results immediately to the point where you actually see those results and, you know, they're huge results, that is really called the plateau of latent potential. And really your biggest breakthrough moments is not going to occur, you know, in a single day. You know, a lot of people think, I just got to figure out one thing that's just going to it's going to click and all of a sudden I'm a consistently profitable trader. That's not how it works. The breakthrough moments really occur as a result of taking very many small actions that compounded over time create a huge change. Now, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to mention, like, with trading, Marky, like, this is a good point, because think about trading, right? What do we want as new traders? We want to start to make as much money as quickly as possible.
Money.
Right? Money. There you go. Money. When do you want it, Mark? Yesterday. Today's not good enough.
Exactly.
And so think about this. So you start, let's say you have a day where you make $10,000 in your first day with a $1,000 account. A fantastic day. You celebrate that. You say, you know what? This is fantastic. This is exactly what the dude with the Ferrari said I was going to do. Now flip it to the inverse. Let's say 30 years down the road, you've accumulated a net worth of $100 million and you are looking to hire a trader. That trader comes up to you with the statement, so I made 1,000 into 10K the first day. Do you hire him? Yes or no? This is the crazy part, is that when we're the ones experiencing it, we want it. But when we're the ones looking for it, we don't. Right. And that's, I think that's what you got to realize, is the people with the wealth will every time hire the person that made less than 10,000 with 1,000, but did it consistently. They're willing to give more money and an opportunity to that person. It's about consistent growth. What is the first thing that they're going to ask you? A person with that track record wouldn't get a job at a prop firm anywhere in the world. They say, show me your 3-year statement. Show me your 5-year. Oh, I just started. Well, good luck. But I did a 10X return in one day. Yeah, that's exactly why we're not hiring.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's what you have to understand about this stuff, is by focusing on the smaller habits, you're making a more sustainable foundation. You know, and I had to bring that up as a trader, because I want to kind of reframe that thinking of instant gratification and the fact that it's actually stopping you.
Exactly. You know, that story kind of reminds me of that. I think it was you that told me that the 13-year-old kid that reached out to, was it Bill Ackman or one of the funds? And he said, hey, I want to be a trader. I've like tripled my account. Right, it was like that 13-year-old kid you mentioned. He reached out to one of the bigger hedge funds, and you know, he did well during Corona, and all of a sudden he's a successful trader, and he wants to work at some of the biggest firms in the industry, right?
Yeah, now, exactly. Relax. $500 to 1,000 isn't 100% return that a hedge fund like Bill Ackman's is going to get excited about.
Exactly. And so when you consider. You know, these habits and the changes that we're looking for, the difficulty with building the habits that last comes with the fact that more likely than not, you expect, you know, growth in a linear fashion, right? It's people that come into this, in it, it's regardless of industries. I feel like just in general, because of society and instant gratification, people just expect to pick things up and, you know, run off to the races with it. But the inherent issue with that is that it sets you up to put too much pressure on yourself, number one, and it sets you up with unfit expectations, right? Because when things don't occur as quickly as you'd like, you can take a good thing and you can basically dismiss it as ineffective and throw it out the window. Right. So this goes back to what we mentioned earlier on with regards to, you know, giving somebody a trading strategy that can make them a millionaire in 5 years. But if it doesn't happen within, say, the first year, they're going to dismiss it as ineffective because it's not happening quick enough. Right. And that's kind of the misalignment between the expectations and, you know, that, what was that term? The patent, the plateau of latent potential.
There's no way I'll ever remember that after.
so that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the point that I'm getting at here, is that, you know, this kind of line of thinking, it makes it a lot easier to pass on, you know, committing to performing the good habits, and it makes you pass on those good habits to kind of fall back into the comfort of the bad habits that you're already accustomed to. And, you know, if you're the type of person that finds yourself really struggling to build good habits or even break bad ones, just understand that progress takes time and that your efforts are not wasted. You know, this is one of the things we see quite commonly in our community, is that people will join on and then they might not be getting things as quickly as they had anticipated. You know, they might not be making money as quickly as they want. But if you kind of reframe that question and you know, you give somebody or you ask somebody a question, you know, they've been with the community for say 6 months and they've done a lot of work. They put in a lot of screen time, a lot of, you know, sweat equity into this industry. You ask them, if you reflect back on your journey over the last 6 months, regardless of what your monetary results are, have you developed or not? 90% of the time, yeah, they look back at their journey and say, you know, when I started, I didn't even know what a candlestick was, or I didn't even know what this meant. 6 months down the line, you are a lot further than where you thought you would be, right? It doesn't mean that you're not doing anything correct because the monetary results might not be there, but just understand that your efforts are not wasted. You are growing every single day as long as you're taking committed action, right? And so there was a really cool quote. As you guys know, we like our quotes that I found here, and it goes along the lines of this. So it's a basketball team, the San Antonio Spurs, and you know they're one of the more successful teams in NBA. They have a quote in their locker room, and it's from a social reformer, Jacob Riis, and it goes along the lines of this: when nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times without as much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two, and I know it was not that last blow that did it, but all that had gone before.
Wow. That's so sick. Like, that's an amazing quote. You know, like that's, and you know, and that wraps up episode 50. That's a mic drop moment. I love it, man. Like, that's what it's about. You know, we all put too much effort on that one shot. You know, we all want to be that 0.001% of people who started and are immediately successful in trading, but we don't want to put the work effort required. We just want to be that person. But if everyone could be that 0.001 that we want to be, it wouldn't be 0.001. It'd be 50%. It'd be the numbers. It's just simple math. And so I think the problem is unrealistic expectations are the greatest cause for failure, even for people who are doing better than average, because they don't feel that way. They're shooting for something that's way above the capability and means, and it's not realistic. So I think that's fantastic. You keep hammering that rock, it'll split eventually, you know?
Exactly. And so like when you consider that, the plateau of latent potential, right? Once you actually break, once you break through that phase of the small daily actions now resulting in a huge change, this is where people see it on the outside as an overnight success. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is where people are going to be like, oh, you know, it seems like you just picked this up yesterday and you're already doing so well with it, not realizing that, you know, in reality, this is a result of all of those small actions that you took, which makes today's result possible. So
social media just shows you that last strike. All you see on social media is that one last hit and it splits. And you're like, wow, how fantastic. He actually did it with one shot. Nobody sees the 99 before. They were sweat and labor.
Exactly. And so as we come to the the tail end of this episode, let's discuss a couple of methods that you can use to get 1% better each day, especially as a trader.
Love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So as a trader, all right, what are people generally looking to do when they get into this industry? George covered it already, and that's to make money. All right. So making money is obviously one part of the equation, and that's what you can consider to be a stretch goal, right? A lot of people come into the industry with a dollar figure that they want to make a certain year. Maybe it's they want to make as much as their current salary. Maybe they want to make double their current salary. Whatever that number is, it's not important in this example because that's just what you're coming in with. What you have to understand is that you can't just go from A to B. It's not going to be a linear fashion. What you actually have to do is you got to break down, you got to effectively reverse engineer the end goal into small actionable steps, right? So the first thing that you got to do, we discuss this all of the time, and that's have a plan, right? You got to have clarity in what you want to accomplish. You got to create a larger vision of what you want to achieve so that you can reference it as you're doing your daily actions, right? And so that first step is having clarity on the goals, what your goals are, who you want to become, and the lifestyle that you want to live, We actually did an episode around New Year's of last year. I believe that is episode number 7. It's called Goals and Actionable Outcomes for the Year. You can listen to that episode to get a better idea of what goals you want to accomplish so that you have a blueprint that you can work off of into this new year. So once you put together those goals, all right, the next step, like we said, is to reverse engineer that stretch goal into actionable small steps that you can then execute daily. Now, we've mentioned it several times throughout this episode. It doesn't have to be huge action steps. Let's say that you tend to have, you know, you reflect on your own trading journey and you can see that, you know, you something that you think is preventing you from getting to that next level might be your trading psychology. All right. So how can you work on developing that trading psychology? Well, there's a number of steps you can take. One step, for example, could be to listen to this podcast. All right. We've got a number of episodes and, you know, this is number 59. And so one of the steps you can take, you know, if we've got 59 episodes and there's 52 weeks in a year, you've got about one episode a week that you can listen to. And, you know, over the course of a year, you're going to develop that trading psychology 37 times to what you were at the beginning of the year. So that's one simple example of how you can start to plan and make actionable steps towards getting 1% better each day. And this is really regardless of the goal, right? A lot of people have that image of the money, but you've got to really break down the habits and processes of a trader that's in the position that you want to be and really reverse engineer that, right? So a trader making $100,000 a year, what does their morning routine look like? How do they show up to the markets? You know, what are the daily habits that they take in order to achieve the results that they do? And that's kind of what I got on that. Yes, Georgie, I see you got the finger up there.
I just want a quick analogy because I think analogies help people. So we all want this instant success. And let's assume that you could do it. Let's say that, you know, something happens. Unfortunately, you go in for surgery and Dr. Steve comes out and says, "Hey, I'm Dr. Steve. I'm a surgeon. You know, it's a 7-year road. I did it in 3 months, but I didn't sleep. I worked very diligently for 3 months. You know, I got you. Don't worry. Do you lay down on the table and let him operate?" I wouldn't. But Dr. Steve, you can't shortchange time. You can't pick up knowledge as quickly because you might know it, but you don't understand it. You need experience. You need practice in order to really let that sink in. So be the type of doctor that people want to see. You know, like that's what you're doing as a trader. Be the type of trader that you know is the reality of the industry, not the type of trader that you've been led to believe on marketing principles. You know, this is going to take longer. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you break it down to being 1% better and investing small efforts on a daily basis, in 10 years, what you're going to accomplish is way bigger than what you thought was even possible. And that's the beauty of it. You know, celebrate the small wins. So if you want to become a trader and you're saying, "I'm going to spend 20 hours a day for the next 10 days, is that really sustainable? Isn't it better if you did 1 hour a day for 200 days? It might take you a year, but how much better would you understand it? And if you're going to put your family's financial well-being at stake, don't they deserve that you do this diligently? I never understood that instant gratification. Easy come, easy go. So, you know, work daily, put in the effort, and celebrate your wins. No matter how small, they're your wins. 1% a day, 3,700% return in a year. You take that on your trading account. Take it for yourself mentally and develop personally.
That was absolutely beautiful. And that's exactly how we're going to wrap up today's episode, guys. I really don't have anything to add to that. I think that was a perfect way to wrap it up. And so hope that you guys enjoyed today's episode. Again, from the Trade Pro family, we want to wish you guys and your family a very happy new year. A lot of success, a lot of prosperity, a lot of health, love, joy, and happiness. Again, thank you guys for taking the time to listen. If you can think of one person in particular that might find today's message helpful, please share it with them. Also, you guys can make one New Year's resolution and we'd really appreciate it. And that's to jump on iTunes and leave a rating and review if you're enjoying the episodes that we're putting together and you're finding value from them. Until next time, guys, see you in the new year. Good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.